CLW83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection. This is an NBS News special report. Here is Tom Brokaw.
Good day from NBS News World Headquarters in New York. Tom Brokaw reporting, and we've interrupted regular programming at this time to report that Randall Keith Orton, better known as Randy Orton, has been suspended 60 days by WWE for a second violation of the company's wellness policy. This is actually the third time Mr. Orton has been suspended by WWE. In April 2006, he was suspended for, quote, unprofessional conduct, end quote. Then 4 months later, in August of 2006, he was suspended for 30 days for his first violation of the company's wellness policy. The suspension will effectively mean that Mr. Orton will not be able to work the company's pay-per-views for the next 2 months, and he will likely miss the special 1,000th episode of Raw scheduled to take place in late July. Earlier, we were able to talk to and get reaction from some of Mr. Orton's colleagues to gauge their reaction on the suspension handed down just moments ago. Those are the thoughts of some of Mr. Orton's colleagues tonight, and we've just received a bulletin. It is out of Stamford, Connecticut. In addition to a 60-day suspension, it is now being reported that Mr. Orton must give his locker full of baby oil to David Otunga. Otunga, of course, the husband of Jennifer Hudson, and he has long been trying to join the Baby Oil Club. And if this bulletin is indeed true, Mr. Otunga may finally get his wish. Repeating our breaking news from a moment ago, Randy Orton has been suspended for 60 days by WWE for failure to comply to the company's wellness policy, and now we have just learned he will have to forfeit his supply of baby oil to David Otunga. I'm Tom Brokaw in New York. More news later on this NBS station.
Mr. Brokaw, thank you. We're going to go ahead and lead with that story tonight here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman. And we're going to continue to talk seriously about this situation because this does put his career in jeopardy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
But I'm not going to be talking about this alone. I'm actually going to see how it affects things on the other side of the planet. Let's start with Shane Beeman.
G'day. Yeah, this is insane. Like possible three strikes are out rule for Orton, but then again, he's the company boy, so who knows.
We're gonna look at that in a little closer detail. Someone else who got a little worse than suspended, Mr. Brian Henniger.
Two things to say. Number one, don't get a job as a debt collector. And number two, hit him with the folding chair!
Eloquent as ever. And somebody who might be peeking around the Twitterverse to see how many more people are responding to the Orton situation, VRM.
Including, apparently, Jim Ross, Chris Jericho, and among others. But this is what you get when you smoke pot.
And nah. But yeah, it's just this whole thing with Randy Orton has blown up the internet as everybody is trying to figure out how many strikes does he have, how many of them are wellness related, why does he still have a job, and where are we going to go with this? However, I will address something directly. Here you go, Mr. Otunga.
Baby oil!
Ah!
So, with that out of the way, VRM, how do you see all this at this point with Randy?
Well, one thing to say is any summer feud that he was supposed to be in at Goodbye. Yeah, if this is what I said it possibly could have been with marijuana and not steroids, then somebody's got to get him some help, get him off that. Just because, well, we've seen what it done to some other people whose names will not be mentioned here. Hardy. But yeah, he's got to be a little careful with when he has to go in for his test, because this is strike two. So I am phoning it right now. I'm tired. I got work in the morning.
Oh no, you're fine. Actually, I'm going to address something that Shane said. We're still trying to straighten out where all of his disciplinary problems are, since Tom Brokaw didn't go completely into it. Randy Orton did get in trouble in early 2006, right around WrestleMania time, which is why Rey Mysterio was given his title shot back, and how he won the World Heavyweight title at WrestleMania 22. No matter how you feel about Mysterio as a world champion, some of this he can thank Randy Orton for. As for his other disciplinary issues, I have a short little shit list of things that Mr. Orton has been up to.
I see what you did there.
Yes. And actually, I wasn't even going to talk about that particular incident, because they never did explain what ended up in the bag. Some people said he took a dump in it, some people said it was lotion, and some people said it was
baby oil. No!
But I have a list here. 2008-ish. Randy's out riding on his motorbike in public during rehab of an injury, which I think was his collarbone injury from his match with Triple H at a pay-per-view. This was against doctor's orders, company orders, whatever, and he got in an accident and was out a little longer, which of course costs the company money, since he is supposedly one of their golden boys. They should know better. 2009, while representing the company, he slapped a presenter on Mexican television and stormed off when he was asked a question he didn't like. This was after his anger management issues were supposedly a thing of the past. Now, I did a little research into this, and this is the answer I got.
Hey, FBE, Kayfabe Radio.
So that one doesn't count. 2010. How many were watching the MSG show with the mini feud with Randy Orton and Kofi Kingston?
I was.
I probably was, but I don't remember it.
Okay, I can sum the whole segment up in three words. Stupid! Stupid! Stupid!
Stupid! So stupid!
Indeed. As in Randy Orton flipping his shit because Kofi was not positioning himself correctly during the segment, missed a cue. Kofi was really off that night, and apparently it was affecting their golden boy. What else have I got? 2011. I never heard this interview, mainly because I have no inclination to listen to this man speak. In a public interview, which he was later forced to apologize for, he joked about other performers' private and sex lives in a very unprofessional manner. The Kelly Kelly incident, anyone? Which leads us up to this week, and now he's laid up for 60 days, missing two pay-per-views, Raw 1000, and potentially, Shane, while he won't be fired, this is going to cost him any chance of being pushed back into the main event. WWE gets really tentative around guys with two strikes.
I'm not too sure on that. Reason being, because Everyone knows that Randy Orton's a big draw when it comes to matches, and like I said, Randy's one of the company boys. So as much as
Mr. John Laurinaitis would like to wish him well on his future endeavors, you gotta thank People Power for keeping Randy Orton in the main event scene.
VRM, do you agree? Do we have to put you
considering,
to bed?
Considering who's, how the main event is getting thinned out thanks to, pretty much because of Cena's issues, I don't know, there might not be much choice. I mean, let's see, who are our main event faces right now? We have Punk, we have Sheamus, Orton.
Daniel Bryan.
When I say faces, I mean actual faces.
We're just talking faces at this point, and I've got to keep my mouth shut because Orton is supposed to be a face, and he just does not have that vibe to me.
I'm just trying to think. Can we count Kane? He's a tweener, I think. Is he right?
I call Kane tweener in this case, especially given his actions on SmackDown tonight when he decided to kill Punk and Bryan.
Yeah, but
he's just rebelling against everything, basically.
Yeah.
But like I said, so we have three main event faces, unless I'm missing anybody important other than Orton. Now, Christian's back to being a mid-card face again, unfortunately.
Right. But they might just have him hanging around a little bit to play with the Intercontinental title, and they can get that moved on, and they could bring Christian up very quickly if necessary. Because Cody is damn close. Ziggler is damn close. I'm trying to think. Who else could they potentially... Who we got playing around in the mid-card that you guys think would be a good fit on the edge of the main event scene?
Cody Rhodes. When he returns, Ted DiBiase. That's when he returns.
How about Cody Rhodes?
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. He's right there on the edge of it, since he's walking around with a B belt, which I know nowadays doesn't mean much. The fact, you know, when he just dropped it to Christian, I thought that's okay. Here's his cue to move up, but he's not a face. We need faces right now.
Christian.
Yeah.
This is only a rumor, but I actually heard a rumor that they might be turning Miz face.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I wish them the best of luck in doing that.
Which I agree, it would be completely stupid of them to do it, but with Orton being out, they could get that desperate.
Interestingly enough, you mentioned, Shane, that Orton being their golden boy. Apparently, this test failure had happened before Raw, so there was the writers didn't know about it until it was actually posted on WWE.com, which means they didn't know until the IWC knew. So I'm sure they had a lot of fun rewriting all this crap. There was talk about an Orton-Ziggler feud since Jericho was sitting at home because he was kicking a flag. So this leads to a segment on Raw. And, of course, I'm not recapping, but I do have to bring this up. You guys remember on Raw Monday night when Ziggler is watching Orton on the monitor and he makes a comment that he should be in Orton's spot?
And with the way things are looking with the situation with him and Swagger and Vicky,
it could happen, and somebody might have known, and that's why that segment was shot. It was also a little small middle finger in Randy Orton's direction saying, guess what? You are replaceable. And here, we've got somebody ready-made to do that. Ziggler's not face, but I think he would be, he'd be somebody to move up. Yeah. You were to say something, VR?
No, I was just adjusting headset.
Ah. So, I will take a moment and mourn the fact that I'm going to have 2 months of Orton-free television. Thank you. Let's see. But that is the that has been the major news of the week. And before we jump into anything else, I'll just open this up. Anybody gonna miss him?
Not really. I mean, he's a good enough professional wrestler. I mean, I think he's got a lot of talent. He just can't keep his head screwed on straight, and that's the problem.
Shane, you gonna miss him?
As a wrestler, definitely. He's good in the ring. He's very entertaining. But yeah, I agree with Brian. He's got to get his shit together.
And VRM, you were going to say?
I'm sure you'll agree with me, Nikki, but until the Punk Brian feud is over, nothing else really matters.
The man's got a point. And I honestly don't mind that Kane's in the middle of it all, because, you know, just to add a little bit to it, because unfortunately some of the other feuds are just not doing anything for me, and one of them is the case of Big Show. Props for him going into a lot more detail about his heel turn Monday night. It made a whole lot more sense, but I'm still not interested. And it doesn't sound like anybody else here is.
We know why it happened. It's just that it's kind of rushed. Kind of rushed and kind of just sort of exists there. Like I said, nothing else matters as long as Punk Brian's going on.
And of course, with Show and Cena tying up again, granted they're taking advantage of the 7-year rule, but I don't have anybody here clamoring for that feud.
No. Not really. I mean,
neither your producer either.
It's exactly like when you first saw it. Yeah, you were awe inspired because here's Cena for the first time ever lifting up this 500-pound friggin' man and giving him an FU. But then you see it over and over again. It's like this is kind of getting old.
So I'm not, but, you know. Go ahead.
But yeah, I'll be interested to see how it goes and how long it goes for.
Let's see. Oh, I know the other big thing that happened, and Brian, we discussed this on your show on Pixel Nation.
Yes, we did. As was revealed Monday, there's going to be a new WWE video game coming out in October. It is the continuation WWE 13, and the cover boy is in fact not going to be
the executive vice president in charge of telerelations and the executive general manager of Friday Night Raw Super Show and Monday Night SmackDown, John Laurinaitis.
I was also disappointed. Go ahead.
No, it's going to be CM Punk, and the big mode they're doing this year is they are doing a new mode called Relive the Attitude, where you can recreate the Attitude Era.
What?
Where, see, basically, they've gotten rid of Road to WrestleMania mode, and now the career mode is going to be, you're going to get to recreate some of the legendary feuds of the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah. Attitude Era mode coming.
Uh-oh.
I think we all need some sound effects, Nikki, just for how awesome this is.
Oh, I see.
I know, it's going to be so awesome!
Yes, I'm sorry. I had to pop in. I apologize.
Ah, yes, legal correspondent Jason Block, who's also a video game head.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, that was a very good reveal. You also noticed the exclusivity deal with IGN, which is the video game website that was involved with this. And the cover boy is not John Laurinaitis, but one. We buried him again, CM Punk. He's the guy who is also the main spokesperson, and the code name for it was Live the Revolution, which is what the video game with all those viral ads were for. So, and we'll find more about it next week at the video game conference.
There you go.
So I'm
I don't know if anyone else saw it, but I actually did see posted up in the NAWC thing that they've actually brought out the full roster already. For the game.
And actually,
I was just going to say, do you want me to go through some of the names here that we've got?
Well, I do know that this is supposedly the largest roster in the WWE video game series, because it's 77, Brian?
77. In fact, I have the full roster right here. Give me one second.
Just some bigger names, Shane, just some of the big names or ones of interest.
All right. Well, it's been adjusted into two different eras. We've got Attitude Era and Modern Era. Modern Era, we have John Cena, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Taker, the other usuals. Brock Lesnar is going to be in it. Kevin Nash is going to be in it. Kane, hopefully with his new mask and everything else. Then we have the Attitude Era. We have The Rock, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Eddie Guerrero, the New Age Outlaws, the Road Warriors. This one was a big surprise to me. Davey Boy Smith.
That was an odd choice. That name kind of stuck out for me when we talked about it on Pixel Nation.
And of course, Ken Shamrock, Godfather, and the Big Boss Man.
Now, my history is kind of shaky for the Attitude Era. I'm a little surprised that Eddie Guerrero is involved, because his stuff wasn't until 99.
They didn't jump ship till 2000, and really I'd say that Eddie's real push didn't start till 2003 with the US title, when the US title came back.
I mean, I remember hearing some of the original Latino Heat stuff that he did on his own, but again, that was after his jump with the rest of the Radicals. And between injuries and before he got himself completely cleaned up. So I'm just, curious to how they're going to fit him into that. Although it would be kind of fun to take a modern era wrestler. I would love to run CM Punk through the Attitude Era just to see how it would play. You would have been a good fit.
Get some of the promos a little bit more uncensored and unrestrained.
Right.
Well, speaking of unrestrained, there was another surprise that got brought in. I don't think I've ever seen this in any of the WWE series before, but WWE 13 has decided that they're going to bring a celebrity into the game, and they've decided to put in a man who was a part of the Attitude Era and had a big part in one of the biggest things going with the Attitude Era, and that's Iron Mike Tyson.
They managed to get him. I think that was all part of the deal that they signed when he was given his when they wanted to put him in the Hall of Fame. And I think that's a good move, because you're right. He was a big part of the Attitude Era, tied into DX, feuding with Austin. I mean, this was perfect storm stuff at that time.
Yeah, exactly. But it's the first time you've seen it done in the WWE series, and definitely showing that WWE 13 will live up to its headline of living up to the revolution, because this is truly a revolution.
And despite anything you might have seen on the internet, no, a version of this will not be released for the Atari 5200. I'm sad. But for anybody who goes to the fan boards, there's an awesome Photoshop that is now my desktop. Anyway, let's see. Despite a decent Raw this past Monday, their ratings sucked. 2.7. Yeah, what happened?
Punk Brian wasn't on. Oh, no, it was on. What am I talking about?
One track mind tonight, VRM?
Pretty much. Devil's tomorrow night is the other track going right now.
Okay. Well, let's see. No Cena, no Triple H, no Uncle Paul, no Lesnar. That might have been part of the problem. But then again, ratings are always going to tank if you don't have my dear Uncle Paul involved. Oh, is that my bias speaking? As I'm getting scolded.
How dare you!
And it was and with Memorial Day happening as well.
True.
So
yeah. How dare me, Mr. High Muckabuck? How dare you?
Well, hi. How dare Jim?
How dare you? No Rocco's Modern Life fans. Okay.
Sorry.
I didn't realize that was the reference you were going for there.
I knew. I just didn't want to say nothing.
Let's see. Do I want to talk about that now, or do I want... Actually, no. I'm already in a proper segue. VRM. I don't have the new intro yet, so we're just going to step right into Wrestlers Just Don't Shut the Tweet Up.
Oh, yes. This is not a regular show for it. So we're not going to Steiner because, unfortunately, he's being quiet. The reason he's being quiet, though, I'll get back to the other one.
Is it because he's back?
No, it's because he's got a subpoena almost in front of him. So instead, his tweeting this week was reserved for telling people that he was going to be at Shoney's to promote a family fun run. While there, he had a little interview where he said, where he was made it very clear that he doesn't like Hulk Hogan, saying, quote, "I can't talk about Hulk. He tried to have me arrested for talking about him. I'll just say he wears the right color, yellow." When the host of the interview said that Hogan might not like that, Scott responded, "It doesn't matter. He knows. And this was on local access television in Nashville.
Ooh, Brian, you could have seen this.
No, I'm in Knoxville. We don't get any of the Nashville stations.
My bad.
Damn it.
And it appears that according to Mr. Jeff Peck, that people that were watching this saw him out of character.
Hmm.
But now onto the real Twitter story. And no, we're not talking about Jericho's countdown.
Although that's amusing in its own right.
Because here is what Paul Heyman went off, and I wish you could do it because you can get into.
Would you like me to do it? I have it in front of me.
Yes, please, because I don't know if I can get the voice right.
Okay. So, gentlemen, sit back and relax. I'm going to enjoy this. Now, this is my dear Uncle Paul speaking, and I agree with just about everything he has to say here. I walk into the office of hashtag looking for Larry, and there's a bunch of ECW pics sent to me by George Tejinos, who's a phenomenal photographer. I guess in honor of the ECW DVD Blu-ray coming out next week, and no, I can't express myself in 140 characters or less, and I can't help staring at this pic of me and Bill Alfonso from 1995. And I'm looking in that pic and wondering, how fucking long was my hair back then? Holy shit. And I immediately thought, who would follow that rebel leader? I look at some of these pics and I realize how blessed I was in my career. Some guys had to wait forever for a lucky break. I managed Austin Idol and Tommy Rich at the age of 21. Also the original Midnights, which I got to do on ESPN. I got to debut on WCW on TBS at 23 years old. I was JR's color commentator at 23 years old. No one is given that opportunity in today's environment. I will admit, with all modesty, I hashtag hustled my ass off and got myself the opportunity with ambition, politics, and pure assertiveness. Even down periods would give me the chance to work with people like Mean Mark. You might know him. He goes by Undertaker, that's right, in WWE. At 26, I was managing Stone Cold Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Arn Anderson, Bobby Eaton, Larry Zbyszko, The Dangerous Alliance. Don't forget Medusa. I'm working with these legends, these giants of the industry, these absolute top guys in my 20s. In today's system, most super talented people spend a great portion of their 20s just trying to make it onto the main roster. And yes, this has to change. I got to take over the creative ECW a week after my 28th birthday. By the time I became JR's commentary on WWE Raw in 2001, I was 35, still a kid, but I was already a veteran with decades in the business, and yet a 35-year-old today would just be getting that chance, and working with JR on Raw allowed to commentating where I was commentating with him at WrestleMania 17 for Austin versus Rock. By the time I worked with Brock Lesnar, which has become my best-known managerial role, I was 36. I look at some of these pics and videos that the hustler that my fans have sent me, and I realize what an amazingly blessed career I've had. I've had more lucky breaks, I've had more open doors, I've had more perfect storm timing opportunities than anyone else I've known. These pics don't just remind me of accomplishments. That remind me of what a lucky bastard I've been able to work with these magnificent people, play these roles under these various circumstances. I've hit the lottery so many times, it's easy to just expect the next opportunity or get a sense of entitlement. But I've never felt entitled. Always blessed, privileged, lucky as all hell. And yet, I know how much hard work goes into it, and you have to score with your opportunities. The next generation in this or in any other business doesn't just need to step up. They need to stand up. They need to get noticed. Do you think it was easy for CM Punk? He makes it look easy. Think it was easy for Daniel Bryan? They had to scratch and claw and fight for every inch of turf they could pry away from the previous generation who made them fucking earn it. It's not about backstabbing. It's not about kissing ass. It's not pulling a hot stunt and getting momentary publicity. It's about creating your own opportunity, like Austin did with the Stone Cold persona, and working harder than everyone else looking for the big break, the next chance, that golden opportunity. No, this isn't a pep talk. It's the lay of the land as I see in today's sports entertainment industry. I would have written a blog, but who knows if anyone would click on the link. And while this may be a stream of consciousness diatribe, it's a message to those who may be getting frustrated. A message to those who may be wondering, will I ever get that chance, that break, that opportunity? Don't wait for it to come to you. You rely on yourself. Do you think Austin relied on anybody? Did Triple H? Don't answer that. Did The Rock? Did Hulk Hogan? Did CM Punk? And with great humility, I ask you, did I? Fuck no. If there was no opportunity, I created my own. I pushed my way in. I manipulated the circumstances to beg, borrow, plead, blackmail, bribe, cajole, threaten, bullshit, kvetch, douchebag, and or manufacture. All I wanted was a mic in my hand at a time frame in which I had to deliver my message. I knew I would score. I've seen it in this business for ages. I saw Shawn Michaels go from a tag team wrestler to the greatest all-around in-ring performer ever. Do you think it was easy for him? I remember when Shawn and Marty were blackballed in the business and could only work in Alabama. You think it didn't take Shawn Michaels everything and then some to break out of the Rockers and get a chance as the Heartbreak Kid? Ambition, assertiveness, and the ability to back it up is what it takes to create the next generation of main eventers. And it's time for the next group of superstars to stake their claim and create their own generation for others to follow. Period. Exclamation point. The lecture is over. Pontification has ended. I hope I've been help to anyone who follows this account, and maybe even to someone who doesn't. We now return you to our regularly scheduled nonsense. My Uncle Paul abuses Twit Longer.
Holy crap.
It's beautiful.
It wasn't even Twit Longer. It was all short tweets.
It's beautiful. It's all beautiful.
And that's for all HBK's faults.
Damn UVRM.
No, I'm only joking. I'm not going to sort through 10,000 different HBK faults.
No. There's no need. There is no need, but indeed, the man speaks the truth, and that is not my bias.
Well, we had a perfect example of it last night on Impact.
Oh, dear God.
Perfect example?
Joey Ryan not really truly stepping up to his promo. I didn't get the chance to really listen to it, but it looked like it was short. And Taz pretty much shat all over.
That segment bored me out of my bloody mind. And Joey Ryan reminds me of, oh God, what is his name? There's a wrestler in the Ohio area. I think his last name is Fontaine. It's the same general gimmick, and the kid's okay on the mic, and he had a wonderful kayfabe argument with Taz.
Yeah, the kayfabe argument was good.
But the rest of the nonsense of that segment was just didn't do anything for me. It really did not.
May I have your attention, please? I have just received an email from the anonymous general manager on my Acorn Archimedes A5000.
Where do you get
Pixar this? Didn't exist.
Oh no, he's got one.
Haven't we all learned by now, do not underestimate the man when he actually brings this crap up?
Do not underestimate me for being a complete and utter loser with no social life. You will fail every day.
No. It's not that. I should not underestimate the levels of your geekdom. A moment while I bow.
Thank you. I'll die alone. Anyway.
Let's see. What does the GM have to say? Ah, and I quote. You now have some fodder to laugh at the Rock. And in fact, John Cena has every right to laugh at the Rock. As the G.I. Joe movie had been moved back to WrestleMania season for other reasons besides the conversion to 3D. The movie had had a couple of trial screenings.
Uh-oh.
And we could just sum that up. I can sum it up in one word. It sucked. So they're going to take it back and massage the footage a little more and see if they can actually make a movie out of it. Something that they didn't do with the original Marine, something they probably should have done. Not that I don't mind a lost episode of the A-Team, but I'd like to know that before I walk into the theater.
Sure, Doom could have gotten a similar treatment.
I'm glad I didn't lose 90 minutes on that movie. GM says, I apologize that my timing is a little off about getting to you guys. You do have some TNA talk once you get back from doing some promotional considerations. Right. All right, guys, it is time for our short break. Get a drink of water, hit the restrooms. We're going to sell some soap, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on the CLW83 Network.
Williamswear is now a part of the CLW83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
If you're not tuned in to CLW83.com, you're missing out on all of this.
Oh, what a catch some guy made for the Angels just now off of this. Number 27, I don't know.
That's
Trout! Yes, Mike Trout just...
How dare you!
Sorry.
Can't catch Trout.
And yes.
Yes, indeed.
The password is Splooge.
My brain was broken after seeing the images of Hulk Hogan's sex tape.
Do not one!
Nikki!
Bleach!
I started this endeavor, joining Carl with a podcast in the hope we could bring some enlightening radio to the masses, and then ponies happened.
No, and then you actually started doing it.
CLW83.com. Log on and tune in.
Time
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at. When Jason Block says it.
And I'm going to predict this right now. The Peyton Manning signing is a bust. Peyton Manning is a lot more hurt that they are letting on, and I think he's going to be out for most of this season somehow. I mean, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Tiger Woods before he, you know, went out for knee surgery for a year. You know, because he's like, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm fine. No, I'm not.
Take it to the pay winder. The BS Big Show on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Roll the tape on this.
Since we do not do recaps, if you didn't watch the show, that's your own damn fault.
I think I can sum this up in one word.
Well, I'm so glad I brought it up then.
As a great man once said, that marijuana make you lazy.
Yes.
When I was watching that segment, I was just thinking to myself, if I were Sheamus, if I were Daniel Bryan, I would have been seriously pissed off.
It comes down to 4 simple words. It's the economy, stupid.
Partnership.
Partnership. I don't see no partnership.
The partnership I need to get laid?
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Hi, everybody. This is Jim Williams, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Tony.
You cheap.
We're back with the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we'll take a look back around the table here. Shane Beeman's here. Brian Henniger is here. And I need to bring in a legal correspondent, since our Twitter expert has left for the evening. Jason, come on in.
Good evening. Good evening. Always good. Great to be back here on the NAWC. Thanks for having me again, as usual.
Absolutely. Before I jump into one of the reasons why I brought you in here, we were gonna talk a little bit of TNA, and they had their first live impact of their summer season. And I took a look at the ratings, and Ethan gave me an idea.
I'm thinking of a number between 1 and no.
Yeah, this is bad. I mean, we're talking disaster.
Okay. And for somebody, you know, as you all know, I am a huge fan of TNA. I actually gave them a chance. I did give them a chance, and Jason can back me up because he spoke to me while I was watching the program.
Absolutely. So, and you actually did survive the 2 hours, sort of.
Somewhat.
Okay.
And thank you to my DVR, by the way.
Right, and there were some things about the show that weren't bad, okay? Chris Sabin versus Austin Aries, for example, okay?
Very, very good match. Actually, Brian, Shane, did either of you guys watch it?
I got to see part of it, and I'm just going to say that I love A-Double's current nickname, which is the greatest man to ever live.
Shane, did you
watch?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I've watched all of TNA Impact, and like like you guys, like, I found a couple, only a few things that were good about it, and the rest was just shit. But I'll get into that later.
Well, and it was, you know, like, and Jason's right. There were some shining moments. Chris Sabin versus Austin Aries. You cannot go wrong with Chris Sabin in a wrestling ring. Oh, that might be my bias showing. Daniels AJ, classic standby. You can always rely on that. I think
even though the ending was
stupid. Yes.
Yes.
VRM has not completely left the building because I'm going to do it because this is how the show summed up.
How appropriate! The show ended with shit.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The stupid phone call thing and the screwed up audio at the end of the show pissed me off.
Then they cut it off, and you hear Dixie Carter at the end going, "You're done. You're so done."
And a cut off F bomb, by the way.
Right. And I will say this: Dixie Carter does have one thing in common with somebody else who was in the wrestling business. She has some of the worst acting skills I have ever heard. Linda McMahon should be so proud.
Yes, and by the way, how bad did Brooke Hogan look last night? I mean, she looked like a damn deer in the headlights. It was terrible.
I couldn't tell you because my DVR said, hell no, click, click, click,
click, click.
Click, click, boom.
Tempting. It was tempting.
And also, I mean, Rude Sting was all right. I mean, that was good. The gut check thing was interesting to me. It was interesting in the fact that it was trying to be tough enough without it being tough enough, if you know what I mean.
No, I know what you mean. I was kind of turned off by it because, like I said in the first segment, Joey Ryan reminds me of another indie worker that I've run into a couple of times, and this guy's got some really good character. He won his match. Yet they said no, but I think this is going to get revisited just because Joey had a wonderful kayfabe argument with Taz.
Exactly. There was a little bit of reality within the KFBE and WORK in there.
Right.
Now,
what'd you guys think of the backstage cameras supposedly catching real stuff going on thing?
Didn't buy it for a second. Didn't feel real to me. Felt like a bunch of pre-tapes.
So let me sum that up for you. Doing it wrong.
Yeah. But there was also I did like the interview segment with James Storm and his daughter. That was really well done. They had a segment where, you know, after his loss to Rude at Lockdown, he was making a decision, and she said, "I'm going to make my decision." And then the daughter did the, "You're not going to wrestling, Daddy." And he said, "All right, camera's done." Very nice. Nice mm-hmm. touch.
See, that I was okay with, but the matches were okay. The talk segments didn't do much for me, and my outside statistician Mikey came back to me and said that Impact still had less wrestling in 2 hours than WWE does with their 1 hour internet programming. He didn't give me specific numbers, and I don't think he's around. I can try to get that for us in the meantime. Brian?
You know, every time TNA seems like they're taking a step forward, they take 50 steps back. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm just, honestly, I've gotten fed up with waiting for them to get better. I'm just, you know, call me when their booking gets coherent and they actually do a good job.
And I think a lot of people are on your bandwagon, Brian, because despite all the hype, despite the change in schedule, despite all of the promises, which is pretty much the same thing that Dixie Carter says about every 3 months when it comes to TNA.
Now, it's going to get better. Oh, just give us time. We've given you 10 bloody years.
And you were doing it pretty darn well in 06.
They
05,
were.
06, and into a little bit into 07. They had something. But now what they have is steady mediocrity. Here we go. Allow me. Mikey did get me some numbers real quick. Impact had just over 32 minutes of wrestling total. Raw was a couple of minutes under that. Let's see. SmackDown had almost 40 minutes of wrestling. FCW, 33 minutes. Superstars, just under 30 minutes. So, okay, in this case, they're all kind of average. It all kind of comes out in the wash, but it wasn't enough to get anybody's attention, and the final numbers came in lower than their pre-tapes. So, this just feels like a great big ugly fail.
Well, except for one thing. I would wait one more week on the Impact, and I'll explain to you why. Because maybe some people didn't get the message yet. Okay? I am not excusing the number, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah.
If the number continues in this range next week, then they've got a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, so does Raw too, for that matter. Okay?
Right, and I think it's just the fact that we were in a holiday week, and you're right, with the new scheduling, this could be just a snafu. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that next Thursday's Impact is going to be in the 1.0 to 1, from the 0.9 to the 1.1 range.
Yeah, it's going to have to go up, because I think these numbers are a little bit of an anomaly. Especially with the week.
But you gotta realize, and I think Shane just realized what I'm saying. Just because they're going live, it isn't going to help.
I don't want to bag TNA, because too many people do that enough. But let's just face facts, okay? TNA has gotten shit. Let's just face that fact. Because look at what they're doing right now, okay? They've got Abyss, Chris Park, who's a great worker and good in the ring. They're using him as Joseph Park, who's a lawyer. Yeah, that's right. Another lawyer in wrestling, oh dear God.
What?
And they've put him in a match against Bully Ray for Slammiversary. That doesn't make sense. Why would they want to have Bully Ray facing a lawyer that has no wrestling experience whatsoever?
Because
but
it's
why
different.
Why not just book Abyss versus Bully Ray?
I think they're going for the hard swerve, in that supposedly Joseph is not going to show up, but Abyss will.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You should as well just book that and then get a bit more of a build-up out of it. Then the biggest news that we had coming out of this TNA Impact was that, okay, Sting's going to be the main event of Slammiversary. All right, fair enough. And that TNA are going to do a Hall of Fame, in which Dixie Carter says she's going to announce the first person into that Hall of Fame later on. And we already know who that's going to be.
Rick is it going to be Jeff?
Jeff or Jerry Jarrett. Plain and simple.
It hasn't been officially announced, though, but it's pretty fucking obvious. Excuse my language.
Yeah, exactly.
French is legal when it comes to TNA.
Yeah, I know. But it, again, it's obvious.
Yeah. Like, okay, I've got the so far updated card for Slammiversary, and you guys can tell me if this is something that you actually pay with your hard-earned money to buy, to watch. TNA World Heavyweight Title Match, of course, Sting versus Bobby Roode. TNA World Tag Team Title Match, Kurt Angle and AJ Styles versus Kazarian and Daniels. Joseph Park versus Bully Ray. Samoa Joe versus Austin Aries. And Robbie E and Robbie T versus Garrett Bischoff and Devon. Now, no. Is that something you guys would pay to watch?
I would procure it, but I wouldn't pay for it.
Again, like, there's nothing there that really, like, screams out to me that this is going to be a good match, besides maybe the tag team title match.
Although, Joe Aries, now then again, if this was 3 or 4 years ago, I would say Joe Aries, but Joe hasn't been all that motivated of late.
Yes, Joe just needs to hurry up and jump over to WWE. That's what he needs to do.
Well, and he may as well just get in line with a lot of the other guys that we think are probably going to head that way. Conspicuous by his absence, Matt Morgan. All of his contractual dates have been used up. He is a free agent. Is Vince on the phone with him yet?
WWE are in the need of a big face for the main event. Could Matt Morgan be coming in and be that person?
Now, do you think they'd let him just walk right into the main event?
Hell yes.
Sure, they did it with Undertaker. Why not Matt Morgan?
And that's well past the 7-year rule. You know, somebody had caught him on Twitter. Hey, you're going to be at Impact? He's like, no. And why should he? His contract is up.
He's done.
But I don't think his phone is ringing just yet, Jason, only because we've got a little legal kerfluffle.
Okay, now here is the latest on the WWE and TNA lawsuit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then this was as of yesterday in the afternoon. So okay. I do know, all right? They filed a motion with the court in Nashville asking for a hearing this Monday to discuss the several issues about the lawsuit, and the hearing will be this coming Monday. So we'll have news on this next week. Okay?
Okay.
They said that even though the court has allowed a temporary restraining order and expedited discovery in the suit, expedited discovery means that they want it faster. Discovery is the gathering information. I'm just explaining it for everyone who does not know.
No, okay. I appreciate that because I hadn't gotten that far in some of my legal proceedings with Uncle Paul's suit with the Fed. Go
right,
on.
Okay. WWE and TNA have been unable to agree to the order, okay? And locations of the dates for the depositions. Now, a deposition is basically taking a statement under oath. Which is
and those are hell on wheels. I know a couple of people have had to live through them.
Okay. They also said that John Laurinaitis, who was scheduled to be deposed, is scheduled for previously advertised and committed television appearances in the United States and Spain next week. He is also scheduled on the hearing for the temporary injunction order meeting on June 11th. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They said because of the court's deadlines, they're worried, quote, they will unable to adequately prepare for the June 11th hearing and will not be able to follow the expedited discovery order, quote, without considerable inconvenience and expense, a.k.a. flying Johnny Ace out of the country. And you understand?
No, I get it. And, you know, go McDivitt, go.
Well, speaking of McDivitt, He has actually filed paperwork to become the legal representation of WWE in this case. Booyah!
So he's not even letting Otunga take a crack at it?
No. Vince wants the big guns on this one.
Oh, I know, okay. but come on. Otunga's got a perfect record.
Okay, but here is the more interesting part. The guy who's being sued, Mr. Wittenstein,
has, as of this recording tonight,
not responded to the court or had a legal representative file paperwork saying they'll defend him.
I got two words for you on that. Flight risk. They better catch him.
Yeah.
Okay, so what exactly is this about? I think I'm a little behind the score.
Oh, this is good. Let me set...
Go ahead and set that up. Brian, take your folding chair, open it up, have a seat. This is going to take a minute.
Okay, 1 second, guys. 1 second. Okay, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Brian Wittenstein was a former employee of TNA.
Okay.
TNA fired him for basically non-performance of his duties, because I believe he was an event coordinator and calendar coordinator for TNA and other things.
Yeah.
He went over to WWE and basically said, here, I have all the information about the contracts of all the TNA stars. Take a look at this. WWE said, are you out of your fucking mind? Pretty much. And fired him. He said he quit. But they fired him. Basically, and then TNA discovered this and sued WWE for a whole bunch of nasty stuff, including violation of the Tennessee fair trade laws, etc., etc., etc. WWE and TNA have been... what's the word for it? Amicably cooperating, sort of, kinda. If you know what I mean.
Yes.
They haven't started countersuits yet, and they're just jockeying for position. Blows have not traded. We're getting there.
We're getting there, though, because right now, WWE is exercising its 800-pound gorilla status, according to these particular status this week.
Mm-hmm.
So... But right now, this guy, Wittenstein, was fired from both feds. Both feds! For being a total douchebag.
Just for being stupid. And stupid is going to get his ass landed in jail, and WWE and TNA are going to agree to disagree and go their separate ways. I really think that's how this is going to shake out.
Yes.
That I just have this image of Vince and Dixie grabbing Wittenstein by the back of his coat and throwing him under a bus.
Pretty much. So right now, you've got the biggest legal gun in the WWE and TNA both going after this guy.
He going to jail.
Oh, he's going to jail for a long time. Now, what the reason I bring this up now, as in the case of Matt Morgan, is that he, along with a couple of other people, are in a bit of a wrestling limbo. Now, one guy who's not affected by this is Don West. He's picked up another gig. He's probably seen what's going on in TNA and going, "Are you kidding me?"
Yes.
I'm sorry. No, you gotta be kidding me. And. You know.
He's selling his gem mint cards as a general manager to a minor league hockey team, if I'm not mistaken.
I forget exactly where he went, but he has, you know, he's a day one guy from TNA, and he is walking away. That should worry some people.
Yeah, I'm searching now. Just give me a sec.
Shane, even though...
His cards, which are a... Rated 9.6 to 10, near mint to mint investment.
Yikes. Shane, you've been pretty quiet on this. Seeing a day one guy walk away from TNA, is that a red flag?
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of like a captain abandoning a sinking ship. So I don't know. Like you said, Don West, like, he's been there since pretty much the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So to see Don West say, "Well, I'm out of here. See you later." I think that sends a message to the people in the back, like, "Oh shit, if Don's going, maybe we should all go."
The actual position in question is the general manager of the North American Hockey League's Wenatchee Wild out of Wenatchee, Washington. He got a great offer. He couldn't refuse, and there's no heat on him, and he's going out on good terms. He's finishing up at the end of the month. So it could be like now or the end of June. I would actually love to see they would actually do a legit on-air send-off for him, because he deserves one, my personal opinion.
No, I agree.
Shane? You'd be stupid not to say that.
And
it would be like WWE not giving Jim Ross a proper send-off or giving Vince McMahon himself a proper send-off when he, like, hands the company over to Triple H. If he don't give him a proper on-air send-off, it's like, well, hang on a sec, Vince has been here since day dot. What are we doing?
Didn't we kind of do that last summer? I love
you. Yeah, you'd think that. You would think that, but I don't know. I honestly don't think that we've seen the last of Vince McMahon on WWE TV. I don't know why, but I just have that feeling.
But yeah, we've got, you know, Don West picking up a new gig. Maybe it really is a better paying job. Then again, this is TNA. Morgan in limbo, and if my dear uncle had any say in this, he might be the one making the phone call.
And your Uncle Paul's had a lot to say about TNA in the past.
And none of it very nice, I would admit. But somebody made the comment, okay, Paulie could actually go grab Big Show, Lesnar, Morgan. Shane, do you have the number for Nathan Jones?
No, I do not have the number for Nathan Jones, but I can get in contact with him.
If he's willing to
Vago Road.
If he's willing to step off the continent, they might get, you know, we get him his job back, and Uncle Paul has his angry monster team from Survivor Series years gone by.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't know if Nate's still wrestling these days. I actually think he's thrown in wrestling, and he's more of a businessman these days.
Because he did acting for a little bit, just because his sheer size was wonderful for, you know, for gladiator picks and crap like that.
Yeah, for gladiator roles or big ass prison psychopath.
Well, just because he lived the part for a little bit, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. But last I heard about Nate, he's actually, what is he doing? He owns a muscle and protein shop in Thailand. So he's an actual businessman now. So I don't know if he's still into the wrestling, but I don't know. Maybe Paul can probably get in contact with him and say, "You're going to come do this. I speak honesty here. You're not going to get buried like last time.
All we want to do is make sure that you can actually wrestle." Which is why he got bumped off a Mania card. Anyway,
Oh,
wow.
Sorry. That wasn't very nice.
And to think that he got whacked by Nunzio, too.
The One of the other name that's out there is Alex Shelley, because I think it's confirmed that his contract is up and he did not re-sign. Is that confirmed?
That is confirmed, and supposedly he's gotten – I've heard rumors that he's gotten calls, he hasn't gotten calls, you know.
Oh, and they're not rumors. It's been confirmed by I think he's one of the, he's a former writer for WWE. He said that WWE has been in contact with Alex Shelley, but Alex Shelley's been dumbfounded by it because his original plans were he was going to go over to New Japan Pro Wrestling or Dragon Gate USA. But now that he's gotten this call from WWE, he's thinking, should I take the jump while I've got the offer? And in all honesty, I think he should, because way I'd do it, bring Alex Shelley in and make him one of the top mid-carders and put him in the main event when he's ready.
Well, of the guys who are... What's the word I'm looking for? Who are supposedly on the bubble. I mean, Matt Morgan is the guy I see first going.
Yeah.
And then Alex Shelley second.
Depending on what kind of commitments he can get with the Japan dates. And I have some breaking news. We've got another guy on the list of somebody with a foot out the door.
Who's that?
Shannon Moore.
The Prince of Punk himself.
Shannon has announced on Twitter that he will not be returning to TNA after stating in March that he would be taking a hiatus from wrestling to spend time with his family. On his Twitter, he wrote, "For those of you asking, I will not be back on Impact. I've got some injuries to take care of and a project that me and my wife are working on. Nothing but good things coming in the future. Even though I can't be in the ring, I've got stuff going on away from wrestling. Working on having a baby is on my list with my dear wife, and that's very important to us right now. And I'll be part of wrestling in some way, just not in the ring. I'll be supporting my wife on our clothing line. Between his wife's clothing line and his tattoo business, he doesn't need TNA.
Nope, and I think you could see him out of the business for a while.
And, you know, more power to him. They, you know, they weren't using him. He, for some reason, no matter how crazy and off the wall he tried to get, he's no Jeff Hardy. It just wasn't getting over.
No, and honestly, you see a lot of these wrestlers who are actually being smarter with their money. You know, not ending up like, you know, all the Randy the Rams of the 70s and 80s, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he's got, what's the word I'm looking for, he's got a side business, you know, all that stuff. And oh, and by the way, prayers to Shane Helms. I believe his girlfriend is having a little complications with their son or daughter. I believe, I don't know exactly what's going on, but I saw it on Twitter this week. So I hope that works out okay.
Oh, you mean the picture of Shane asleep on top of her at the hospital?
Yeah, I think so.
That was adorable. I have to admit, that was adorable.
You want? And by the way, just not speaking of something, I think Shane Helms legitimately has changed his life and learned his lesson from what I've been seeing on his Twitter and things like that. I really think he's cleaned up his act. I hope so. I really do.
I hope so, too. I agree.
I mean, it seems like he's been doing some good stuff.
So, I am just about out of news, unless anybody else has anything else. I'm a little, I'm near the end of my list.
I got nothing.
I'm done too.
All right, then before we call it a night, Shane, do you have anything to plug?
Nope. All good on my end.
Jason.
Of course, I would like to plug all the shows that I'm involved with on the CLW 83 network, which is Touch 'Em All, BS Big Show, Red State, Blue State, Pixel Nation, and NAWC. And I would just like to just say that I'm always glad to be here, and just always good stuff. Thank you.
Not a problem. Brian?
I want to plug Pixel Nation and the CLW 83 network. Me and Jason Block always have an amazing show. If you haven't heard this week's episode yet, please pay a listen, because your humble hostess, Nikki Heyman, did a great guest spot on that show as well.
Talking about WWE 13, which we'll find have more of this week, because we got a busy week coming up next week. Oh, boy.
Oh, it's going to be big.
And
one more thing I want to plug real quick. My favorite game video series, which is Joe Gagne's Pro Wrestling Funtime Arcade, has a new episode coming out later. Said to be later today, but it should probably be tomorrow. But very soon, you can listen to it. It's going to be great. So check that out on YouTube. Check out all the podcasts.
And even though I am not located in Ohio anymore, I have an obligation to bring about some wrestling news from that area. Earlier this week, I was contacted by former WWE superstar Jimmy Wang Yang.
No way!
Jimmy ran an outfit in North Cincinnati known as Pro Training Wrestling. It was a school and a league. And he did get he did have a handful of students, but he also had access to OVW, Heartland Wrestling, and several other individuals who were more than happy to jump in on it. We didn't make any money, but boy, did we have fun. I got to work with some incredible individuals within the organization. I actually got to work with Sharkboy. I got to work with Kevin Thorne. I got to work with Rosie, something that I've been wanting to do because he's such a wonderful guy. I got to work with SoCal Val. I got to work with a lot of big names in the Cincinnati wrestling industry, guys like Deja Vu, John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose. This is where I managed Candy Charles. This is where I had my opportunity to get back at promoter Cincinnati Kid Russ Jones. This is where I also had wonderful humiliations, such as having an entire audience turn their backs on me.
Boo!
I've been whatted, I'd been signed, I'd had backs turned, I'd had name calling, I was... No, I wasn't. I didn't get tripped. Although I did get into it with a kid who almost got somebody hurt, but that's neither here nor there. Pro Training Wrestling is getting back underway, and had I still lived in Ohio, I would have been more than happy to be a part of it. They're starting up in mid-June, and they're going to have one show a month. I don't know if it's going to be in their same location in northern Cincinnati. But if you happen to be in that area and you're lucky enough to be there the week of a show, go. Seriously. This is one of the few leagues that I've been to where the locker room was a blast. The in-ring work was fun. The fans were hysterical and fairly smart. We had a great photographer. We had a decent videographer. The general manager, unfortunately, was not me, but a gentleman named Tony Banana. I mean, LaManna. It's a league that I would recommend to anyone. And I really wish Jimmy a great deal of luck. I hope he can keep it running. That was the best year of my wrestling career in Ohio. And Super Oprah can get mad at me, but I had so much fun. So, Jimmy, I know you're probably not listening, but good luck, sir. So with that, gentlemen, I think we've done enough damage for one evening.
I think we have.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
So, for our international correspondent Shane Beeman, for my legal counsel Jason Block, for my resident weapons master Brian Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. We will now return you to your regularly scheduled nonsense. This has been the North American Wrestling Connection. Have a good day, everyone.
For more information about this podcast and all of our other podcasts, please visit our website at clwa3.com. Any questions or comments? Please send an email to clwa3network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW83 Network. Tune in.